From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of November, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here with a look at today's Ag News, and then we'll catch up on the Ag Weather Forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, I'll tell you how to register for many of the winter meeting season's premier events, including the Ag Masters program, which is December 5th and 6th right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the I Hotel, and then the Illinois Farm Economic Summits across the state of Illinois in the second full week of December. And in January, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series for 2 weeks across the state. It all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby December corn was up a penny and a quarter at $5.99. March at 6.05 and three-quarters, three-quarters higher. The May at 6.12 and three-quarters up three-quarters. And July at $6.15 and three-quarters a bushel, up a quarter of a cent. December corn of next year, $5.49, down a penny on the afternoon. The soft red December contract in the wheat pit at $5.94, up 2.5, but July futures were down 6.25 at $6.35 and a quarter. Soybeans for the afternoon, a nickel higher, $11.53 the settlement price in the lead option January. March at 11.62 and three quarters, up 4.75. The May at 11.72, 4.25 higher. July soybeans up 4 cents at $11.80 and three quarters, and next year's November at $11.69, 4.75 higher as well. December bean meal at $2.92, up $2.40. December bean oil on the day at $50.78, 89 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the February at $123.30, $1.50 higher. The March feeder cattle at $148.82.5 were up 82.5 cents, and the lean hogs on the afternoon finished the December contract at $87.82.5. That's down 12.5, although the February was up a dime for the day at $91.10 per 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Well, please find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, here are the outside markets for the afternoon. January crude oil futures, $98 and a penny, up $1.09. Ethanol at $2.55 and 6 tenths, that's a penny and 2 tenths higher. Natural gas at $3.42 and 6 tenths, up 2 7 tenths. The RBOB at $2.55 and 2 tenths, up 6 3 tenths. And heating oil are $3 at 2 4 tenths of a cent, up 2 9 tenths of a cent. That's diesel fuel, of course. And gold futures at $1,700 2 and 20 cents, up $23.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,483, down just about 64 points. The dollar at 78.26 is down 0.04 for the day. And the CRB index at 311 even, up 2.19. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Occasional rain, a high near 46 degrees, north-northwest winds at 16, they'll gust all the way to 23. The chance of precipitation a bit more than occasional, actually, at 90%. Tonight, rain likely mainly before 9 p.m. Central Time, cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy. A low of 36, north-northwest winds this evening between 7 and 15, gusting to 20. Chance of precip this evening at 60%. Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 53. Wednesday night, clear, a low of 36. On Thanksgiving Day, sunny, a high of 58 degrees, a beautiful day with a south-southwest wind at 5 to 13. They'll gust all the way to 16. And then Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 41 degrees. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. When we get to the bottom of the half hour, he'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. I did speak with him earlier in the day, and he told me that we might pay for this really good weather at the moment, that in Alaska they had hit 40 below at Juneau, the earliest ever.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Hey, you doing great, Todd.
Oh, I'm doing very well here, too. A little rainy, a lot gray today, and the markets were pretty blasé, I guess. At least the close was. What did it show you through the day?
Well, actually, it was quite encouraging that we closed with some green ink today, Todd. We've been watching the markets be down the majority of the day until the bean oil and the crude oil done a little bounce back, along the way. So that was a little bit positiveness added to things. We've had, just no real good news this week. It's been all the economic data, the fund liquidation, the risk-off attitude, and, of course, this super committee just sort of not accomplishing what all we would like to see done to the economy.
Are we ready for holiday trade already into this for the Thanksgiving week, and will we have light trade all the way through the winter break?
I think we're looking at the holiday trade sort of starting to begin. We've got option expiration on Friday. I think that most people are fairly well evened up on that. We've got a few people that are hoping for a little rally or a little sell-off to make some of the options. They're just a little bit out of the money on either side worth something before the week's over. And if you don't have a position like that, getting ready for the holidays or doing a little Christmas shopping is probably what lies ahead for a lot of the traders.
Tell me about the bounce off the soybean oil and why it came.
Well, we're seeing, the palm oil is suffering because of the excessive rain over Malaysia. We're up about 89 points, 92 points in the bean oil today, coming back on that with some of the requirements for the coming years coming up for some of the diesel fuel being blended with the crop oils that way. Also, we saw the demand from China continuing to stay strong as the crude oil crept back above 97.75, and it's up about 90 points here as we speak. So that's what sort of brought the beans back was the bean oil, and, of course, the crude helped bring back the corn.
Can we turn our attention quickly to the ethanol market in general? At the end of the year, of course, the credit will go away, but the mandate is pretty much as big as it's going to get. Will there be much of an impact when that credit goes away, do you think?
Well, we might see just a little bit of a slowdown because we should have been running the ethanol plants full steam to try to get the blending all the blending credits we can get before the end of the year. But in all honesty, like you said, the mandate will be there as long as crude oil is staying here in the upper 90s and corn down in the fives to six, low sixes to fives. We think that ethanol is going to be produced at maximum capacity through the next year.
Producers would like to see a bit better than the low sixes to five for corn. You think they will anytime soon?
Oh boy, that's a great big question. There's a lot of naysayers out there saying the world economy, the production for next year, the way that exports are slowing down, and everything like that. That we could see a substantial drop in things yet. But there's still the big crowd out there that says, look, folks, our corn crop is short. We've got a lot of demand out here that is going to have to ration this. And dropping clear down to the low fives right away is probably not foreseen. We've got that big January report to look at, and that's going to tell us a lot. A lot of people believe that we'll continue to shrink that production number just a little bit in that January report.
What are producers asking you about for next year yet, if anything, as it pertains to crop insurance? Anything at all?
Most of them are figuring they were not going to have the guarantees we had this year, and that unfortunately, as all the news looks, that we're looking at a very big world production next year, and they're a little bit disappointed that they didn't sell more corn, old corn they have in the bin already, or this year's crop, and some a little more of next year's crop. So right now, the farmers are just a little bit gloomy.
Thank you so much, and maybe when we talk to you again, it'll be a better note. Thank you.
All righty. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now here's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, South Korea's parliament ratified a long-stalled free trade deal with the U.S. today after ruling party lawmakers forced a vote amid shouts and shoves from opposition rivals. South Korean lawmakers voted 151-7 in favor of ratifying the free trade agreement in a surprise legislative session called by the ruling Grand National Party. Lawmakers have been wrangling over ratification of the free trade deal since U.S. Congress and President Barack Obama approved the deal last month. The deal is America's biggest free trade agreement since the 1994 North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and Mexico. Two-way trade between South Korea and the U.S. totaled about $90 billion last year. The trustee liquidating MF Global says that the shortfall of commodity customer funds may be around $1.2 billion, or about double initial estimates from regulators. The news was a blow to customers still hoping to get more of their cash out of frozen broker accounts, and raised new questions about why the authorities managed to locate only about 60% of the segregated customer funds 3 weeks after the parent firm's October 31st bankruptcy. Meanwhile, one of the top Senate Republicans overseeing futures regulators, Pat Roberts of Kansas, called for a congressional hearing on MF Global. Roberts is the ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee that oversees the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Roberts says there should be a hearing on MF Global with former Chief Executive John Corzine and representatives from both the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and CME Group. The Farm Bill proposal crafted by the House and Senate Agriculture Committees moved to legislative limbo yesterday as the so-called supercommittee announced it had failed to reach an agreement to cut federal spending. The plan would have trimmed about $23 billion from farm programs. If lawmakers now move into the next phase of across-the-board budget cuts, USDA programs could see a $14 to $16 billion cut based on earlier estimates from members of Congress. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. A few things that you should be aware of that are coming up in the month of December and then again in January. We'll kick off our U of I Extension Outlooks with the Ag Masters program right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus on the 5th and 6th of December. That's the first full week of the month. Ag Masters at the iHotel. It is the premier crop science learning event for the year. It's called the Ag Masters program. All the information is online. Just search Ag Masters and Illinois.edu. The following week, on the 12th of December, we'll kick off our Illinois Farm Economics Summits right here in Champaign as we make our way around the state to DeKalb, Galesburg, Mount Vernon, and Bloomington. We'll make morning-long presentations. You can learn all about the Illinois Farm Economics Summits at the Farm Doc website. That's farmdoc.illinois.edu. You can even register there right now if you'd like. And then finally, I'll wrap up a good portion of my winter meeting season in the month of January on the week of the 9th and the 16th We'll be in Mount Vernon and Springfield, Champaign, Bloomington, DeKalb up at Kishwaukee College, in Quincy, too, all with the Corn and Soybean Classics series. It's the crop sciences programs we bring to you each year. This will be our 16th year on the road. You can learn more about it at cropsciconferences.com. It's all part of the service from University of Illinois Extension, and I hope to see you at one of the meetings soon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the U of I campus. I'm Todd Gleason. Up next, you know, farmers are finding it very difficult to control water hemp in this state and around the Midwest. Today, I'll report on how the weed has developed resistance to several chemical families once used to control it, and a brand new one out west. The researchers at Illinois have identified five different herbicide families that may no longer control a weed called water hemp. And when the plant is resistant to just one herbicide family, it's a problem. But once the resistance begins to stack up, for instance, with two or three different types of resistance in a single field, well, it becomes a management problem. It's even worse when the resistance is stacked together in an individual plant, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Now you might be able to tank mix two or three different products together if you had two or three different types of resistance at the field level. But if you combine those two or three types of resistance in a particular plant, it becomes very, very difficult, and you have very, very limited options, at least chemically, on what you may be able to use to actually control that.
Well, frankly speaking, Hager believes some farmers may need to rely on the row crop cultivator or maybe even a soybean walking crew to control water hemp in the future. It is an amazingly adaptable plant. What's happening in Nebraska right now is a good example.
And the weed scientists there have actually identified now a population of water hemp has evolved resistance to the plant growth regulator synthetic auxin herbicide. And specifically, I believe the instance, herbicide that was used there that did much of this selection was actually 2,4-D, very old herbicide, been around in the marketplace since about the 1940s, early 1950s. And unfortunately, continues to demonstrate that if any single tactic is used long enough, if selection occurs long enough, that eventually resistance will evolve to it.
So the days of the farm relying on just one herbicide, glyphosate for instance, are rapidly moving into history because of evolution. The Illinois stance is that farmers must rotate the family of herbicides used on a field.
We talk about rotating crops, but we're also going to have to really begin considering rotating some of the herbicide resistance traits. Can we rotate things like glyphosate resistance with glufosinate resistance and try to manage some of the glyphosate resistant populations that we have? So it's really, you know, good planting practices. Obviously, planting in no-till settings into a weed-free environment is the best thing that we can do under no-tillage situations, or if we have tillage as an option, pre-plant tillage, making sure that we're planting into a very stale seed bed and not allowing any sort of a water hemp population to exist during that planting operation.
As for the stale seed bed, well, it may be easier said than done. Just a bit earlier in the program, I told you about the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Those are put on by the Ag Economist, the Farm Doc team here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. I host them. We're headed out in the month of December. Scott Irwin now in studio to take up that event. And Scott, thanks so much for being with us. Start off by telling us just what we'll be discussing this year at the summits.
We're going to have five meetings around the state, Todd, and these meetings are going to have a similar format to years past, and we'll cover kind of the range of topics affecting the outlook for profits in Illinois agriculture in 2012.
The outside markets were incredibly tumultuous in the last year. Despite that fact, Illinois agriculture did just fine in income.
That's right. In particular, the crop sector did well. The livestock sector began doing better. And so in the midst of this incredible turbulence, certainly a lot of producers are wondering, well, how do I manage through all of this seeming outside chaos?
And that's kind of the point of this economic summit this year, that you'll be looking forward to next year and trying to figure out how to manage their way through that kind of volatility.
Exactly. And so we have selected a set of topics and speakers that we believe will help people in that management.
And they include such things as?
The outlook for crop and livestock prices next year. One that I think people will be especially interested in are colleagues at NASS, which is the agency inside the U.S. Department of Agriculture that is responsible for all of the data and inventory reports. They're going to be part of our presentation team and make a presentation on their procedures and how they make their estimates. So I think that alone will be of a lot of interest to producers this year. We're going to be talking about estate planning and all the changes going on in that way. Then how to take a look at the risks and returns in the next year and how you might stress test that. How you might manage it with some of the new crop insurance programs that are being offered, and then where might we be headed with farm policy.
And we have all kinds of fun things that will be planned. We're at 5 different sites across the state.
That's correct. We're going to be at Champaign on December 12th, DeKalb December 13th, Galesburg December 14th, Mount Vernon December 15th, and Bloomington December 16th.
You can register online, $50, right?
That's correct. That's the cost. And you just go to FarmDoc, www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. And right on the front page is a button to click, and it'll take you right to a place to register.
It is possible to walk in, but it costs you $65. What's the end of the registration date ahead of time? Do you know?
I think our deadline is December 5th.
So just a week ahead.
Yeah. So you do have some time, but it certainly always helps us with planning. The earlier that people register, the better. And again, we do take walk-ins if space is available.
Is it a half-day event again this year?
Yes. Exact same format. We start around 7:45 in the morning with refreshments, and we have a break in the middle of the morning, and then we finish about noon, and we do have a lunch that people can stay for and get a good meal and do some hobnobbing if they want to.
All right. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's Illinois Ag Economist Scott Irwin talking about the Illinois Farm Economics Summits that kick off in the month of December around the state. Please do visit the Farm Doc, not Farm Doc Daily, but the Farm Doc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. And sign up today. The cost, again, $50, $65 if you wait and you walk in the morning of. That's okay, but space is limited. So sign up today on the Farm Doc website for the Farm Economic Summits. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Cranberry Relish Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, Dr. Alexander P. Anderson was born. He developed puffed rice in New York City in 1902, which was introduced to the world at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904. In 1869, the Cutty Sark was launched. Built of teak on an iron frame, it featured a new hull shape that allowed it to be driven harder than any other ship of its day. it quickly was recognized as the fastest ship taking the Cape of Good Hope route, carrying tea on the China Run. In 1884, wheat to that date recorded the lowest price in recorded history in Britain, commanding 93 and a quarter cents per bushel, 15 cents lower than the previous all-time low. The value of agricultural property in England fell by half to two-thirds over a decade due to its free trade policies and repeal of its corn laws, designed to protect grain prices from foreign imports. In 1967, silver hit what was then a record $2.17 on New York markets. And in 1972, after Richard Nixon became the first U.S. sitting president to officially visit China earlier in the year, on this day, the U.S. ended a 22-year travel ban to China. 4 months later, in February of 1973, the U.S. and China agreed to establish liaison offices in Beijing and Washington, D.C. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, now on the phone line to take up the agricultural weather forecast. It's really wet here today. Don, what can we expect as we make our way through the rest of the week?
Well, I tell you, we are still looking at more wetness. While we will see the current system move out pretty quickly by tonight late and during the day tomorrow, there's going to be another system coming out of the high plains and arriving in the Corn Belt and Midwest as we get into late Saturday afternoon, Saturday night into Sunday. So the Thanksgiving weekend for the Midwest is looking damp. And at least initially, the system is going to move in quickly, but then kind of hit a brick wall and hang around maybe all the way through Tuesday night before moving out. So for areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt that don't want any more wet and delays, I'm afraid the news isn't good.
Well, that sounds bad, but am I wrong in thinking that Wednesday and Thursday of this week actually will be pretty good days?
In fact, once the system moves out, the period of drying and the intensity of the drying really doesn't look too bad for a good 3 or 4 days. We're going to get some sunshine. Actually, temperatures are going to warm up ahead of this next system. So we'll be able to dry out some, but this next system certainly has got the potential to bring some pretty good wetness right back into many areas again.
And tell me about South America, please.
Well, recently they've had a pattern that's been pretty favorable. The precipitation hasn't been bad. That's changed a little bit. Argentina has dried out a bit. Brazil's still going to fare the best with rainfall. But some of the central and eastern and northern growing areas of Argentina, southern Brazil, going to be a little bit warm and dry.
And other places around the planet we should check in on.
Well, going around the southern hemisphere, let's go to Australia. They've seen some pretty good precipitation lately. It's a little drier there, but some of the central and eastern growing areas going to be able to pick up at least average precipitation. Over into Europe, taking a look at some areas that have been dry. Southern and southwestern Europe, they continue a trend that's a little bit drier. The northern area is going to be a little bit more wet. That does include some decent precipitation for some of eastern Europe, some of Ukraine, looking at some decent chances of moisture.
Don, thanks so much, and we appreciate you taking the time with us. Oh, wait a second. One final thing. We're making our way through Thanksgiving. When do we get our first one-inch snowfall here in the Urbana-Champaign area? Usually, I think it's about the 18th of December on average.
Well, you know what? We've got to watch this next system coming in, the one that's going to arrive late this week and early next week. It may hang around long enough to pull some cold air out of Canada with it. We might very well have a chance of doing it maybe sometime early next week, maybe as early as Monday night or Tuesday night in some areas.
Well, I hope you have snow long before we do. How about that? Is that okay with you?
That's a deal.
All right. Thanks much. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason. Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economics Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu.